You are about to receive a word in season from Bishop Samuel Beidou. Bishop Samuel is the resident pastor of the Word of Life Cathedral, Takrady. Get ready for an impartation as the Word of God comes. Now, today's message.
Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you are here to perform wonders in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things out of your law. We thank you that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we may know why you have called us, that we may understand why you have died for us on the cross. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Please clap your hands together for Jesus. You may be seated. Hallelujah. You are welcome to this service, and I'm going to continue on the blood power. Hallelujah. The power in the blood. We sing a lot about the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power, power, wonder working power. There are different things we can say about the blood, but I believe that as Christians we need to understand why the blood of Jesus is powerful. Last week I shared with you about why the blood is precious. Hallelujah. And now I'm going to preach to you about how the blood of Jesus has performed the greatest miracle. How? Why is the blood of Jesus powerful and why it has performed the greatest miracle? Okay, the greatest miracle is not that somebody has received healing. It's not that somebody has been blessed with a new phone, a car. The greatest miracle is that you receive salvation. Hallelujah. If you are saved, it's the greatest thing that can happen. Greatest. I mean, if you are saved and born again, it's the greatest miracle that you can receive. Hallelujah. So anytime somebody gives his life to Jesus, lifts up the hand and gives his life to Jesus, it is a great miracle that has happened. And I'm going to believe that this morning God is going to reveal to us why it is the greatest miracle. Let's go into the Bible. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3. The Bible says, how shall we escape, all right, if we neglect so great a salvation, which first at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by them that heard him. The Bible is talking about great salvation. When you hear the word great, okay, the word great is big. Something that's big. Something that is powerful. Something that is huge. So the Bible talks about salvation as being very great. It's the great. How can we escape if you neglect so great a salvation? Salvation is actually a great thing. If you are saved, it's a great thing. You must accept it. You must see how great it is. And this morning, I'm going to believe God to share with you why the Bible says so great. Not even say so great. So great. It's a salvation. If Jesus has come. And that is why if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and you die, you will go to hell. And so why has God prepared hell for somebody? He asks, why have you also chosen to refuse it? So choosing to refuse the salvation that is offered you is choosing to accept something else. In fact, intentionally you have accepted another offer. Amen. Yes, you choose something. Sometimes when somebody says no to you, and they don't obviously show that they have chosen something else. Actually, they have said yes to something. Sometimes that's how it is. Do you get it? In their hearts, there's a reason. There's a something. There's something that is making them not say that. When you find out, it means that maybe if a lady says no to you, actually there's another guy. You see, there's somebody else. It's like, no. I just like you as my brother. It's just like, I mean, you say everything and they will come back to the point that, I see him as a brother. My brother, hey, there's somebody else. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, so the no means something. It means a lot. So the Bible says that greater salvation. So we are going to go through why. Why is it so great that you shouldn't play with salvation? Don't play with your salvation. Don't play with the blood of Jesus. That brings us salvation. Do you understand it? The Bible says that for almost all things are by law purged with blood. Okay, it means that purged with blood means cleansed, you see, purified with blood. Your life is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. If the blood does not flow, there is no forgiveness. Remission is forgiveness. So the salvation we are talking about here, it's talking about the forgiveness, being saved from the sins that are destroying you and me. Do you get it? Sin is a disease. It can destroy us. So, number one, salvation is the greatest miracle because it is a miracle for anybody to be forgiven or anyone to be forgiven. It's a salvation for anybody to be forgiven. The Bible says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool. Hallelujah. You see, this is Isaiah 1:18. Come now. This is the Lord speaking. Come now, let us reason together. I want to talk to you. Though your sins be as scarlet, get me the scarlet color. Okay? Scarlet. I'll show you why it is a great miracle. The scarlet color. Look for scarlet. Scarlet is in some of these variations here. I'm sure scarlet is in there somewhere. But if you can just look for scarlet, the red scarlet, all right? Or scarlet. Scarlet, scarlet. Huh? Quickly. Scarlet is like reddish, winish, reddish color. You see? So that's it. Then the Bible says, your sins are be like that. Then they become white. Reverend Eric's white. A lot of people are wearing white. Bismarck has brought a lot of white clothes to church this morning. But that's white. You see, then that's scarlet. You see, white, when something white becomes this. This is even a variation of scarlet, but this is like scarlet. So, what the Bible says that though your sins be like this, go back to the color. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as this one. The sins are like this. Your sins have become this. They shall be as, give us the scripture. They shall be as white as snow. Snow white. White is, snow is very white, fluffy white. You know, it's when snow is falling, you see that it's very white, very white. Yeah. It's the difference between the snow that has become ice, very hard and like block, and then the snow that is coming down, fluffy. It's very nice, and you can take it and hit somebody with it. But white snow. Now, this is God speaking. In fact, God knows snow. Yes, he created it. So he's using snow to describe what he can do. Now, I'll show you why it is a miracle. Do you want to know why it's a miracle? Because every color you see here, they are like wool. You see, they are yarns that have been dyed. All right, white yarns, twisted yarns. That's what makes fabric. You know that? Every fabric, every attire is like yarns that have been twisted, and then they have been made into fabric like this. But they are white. Originally, they are white. So they are, every color you see is what has been added, dyed. The yarns that are twisted are dyed. So they are dyed and then they become the color black, blue, all the different colors you see. Now, to undye a cord to make it white, it's a very wild thing. To undye a cord is very serious. I mean, to make this thing back into white, it would be a very wild thing. You need chemicals. Wild chemicals. I don't know whether we can even get that, but I'm sure it can. But it's likely by the time it comes back, you can't wear it again. But the kind of chemicals that to be applied to it to undye, to make this into this white. Charlie, it's impossible. So for God to undye the cord of sins in your life and to make it as white as snow, my friend, is that not a great miracle? Is that not a great miracle? Is that not a great miracle? Because to make your white, this cloth white, hey, Charlie, that would be wild. I mean, the chemicals that must be applied is just to say that you don't want to wear the dress again. Because by the time you are done, even if you're able to wear it again, when you wear it once or twice, the clothes may never be the same again. So that is why the Bible is trying to make you know that though your sins be like that, a dyed fabric, black, blue, yellow, cream. I can make it come back. Yes. And that is it. And by the way, it is the reason why God is saying that it is a great salvation that you can be a clean vessel again. White, clean, white. I can make it happen through the blood of Jesus. Yes. So he says here that though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as wool. Though they be like crimson, they shall be like wool. Hallelujah. They can turn back into wool. So I pray that you will see the revelation of salvation. Hallelujah. That's how your sins are. That's how my sins are. Sins are like that. When you sin, it's like your fabric, your white garment becomes dyed with colors, different colors. Each sin is like getting your white attire stained and becomes dark, and it keeps on changing, and different spots that are going to come into the white that God is put on you. Hallelujah. And God is saying that he's the only one who can do it. And by the way, one of the things that you have to also know with sin is that sin is committed in time. So the time that the sin was committed, if you want to remove that sin, you have to go back into time. So it also makes it great to go back into time to remove that stain. Ah, that it becomes original. Look, even if we are able to make this cloth white, it is still not the original thing. It becomes some funny clothes because it's not originally what we know. To go back into it. Hallelujah. So I pray that you see that God has done a great miracle in your life. And that's why when you have to preach to somebody, you have to see that it's a great thing. When somebody, you know, when you preach to somebody by the corner and the person accepts Jesus Christ, it's a miracle. So I receive. I believe in Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. It's a great miracle. May you experience this great miracle today. Number two, salvation is the greatest miracle because it is always a miracle for your sins to be wiped away. All right? For your sins to be wiped away. Again, in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, the Bible is talking about the fact that your sins will be wiped away and then you will be made clean and white. It says that though they be as snow, they will be as, though they be like red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So it means that your sins are wiped away. Heaven is a place where there are no more records of your failures and mistakes. When you are forgiven and the record of your sins are wiped away, it is as if you never sinned. You know, do you know why people don't like your sins? Why you have not told me your sins? I want to tell you why. Because, do you know why? Do you want to know why that people don't tell their sins, like completely inform their neighbors of their sins? Their secret sins. I mean, the general ones, oh, this one, yeah, everybody knows. But the real sins, the real sins. How many of you know of the real deep sins where you can't share? I'll tell you why. Because, you see, you are not sure whether I can forgive you. People are not sure. Will the world forgive me? Will he forgive me? That's the reason. That is the reason. They're not sure. You are not sure whether your partner will forgive you. But you wish you can say it, but will she forgive you or will he forgive you and forget it and never bring it back? That's why it is never said. Yeah. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. It's not so simple. It's not so simple. It is better. It's like, Talib, no, the way the things are going, let me keep it. Hey! So it is about the record. And then when it comes out, you are worried whether other people can forgive you. Maybe one person can, but there are others who cannot. It's about the records. So when God says that I will not remember your sins again, it's a great miracle because, look, if you make a mistake, it's like it is there for life. The world will remember. Every time, up to today, we still talk about certain things. I mean, the sins of certain people that are out there. I mean, they've been forgiven. Sometimes they've gone to jail and back. But it's like, oh, no, but you did it. Hello? Hello? I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. So it's like the record of it that is brought back, the repetition. People will talk about it again. That is there. It's not easy to remove that record of sin. Although you have served a term, you have paid for it in this world, but the records are there. The records are there. When you go on the internet, the sins of people, they will talk about, oh, you did, and then it has been, whatever, you went to jail, you are back and all that. He lived his life afterwards serving humanity and all that, but the records are there. The records are still there. That's why when God forgives you, the records are gone. He will never bring them up and tell you that you, before I forgave you, you were a prostitute. You were a prostitute. You, before you came into whatever, you were doing this. Ah, then God is bringing back all the things he said he has forgiven you. But God wipes them away. You are clean. And that's why we even have confidence to be in church. Oh, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. That's why we have confidence to be in church. Because then nobody will be clean. I mean, there are some people who are actually good. You know, people started going to SU when they were 8 years old and all that. There are SU people around. But who feel that they have the right to be in church and the right to do the things of God. They started Christian. Somebody, one day I asked somebody, when did you become born again? So since I was born, I've been born again since I was born. I said, sister, you are not born again. I said, you are not born again. She was actually my praise and worship leader some time back. Something happened and I said, because she was coming from town and she, you know, she looked like she was born again. And I called her, I said, hey, you, when did you become born again? Now, for me to ask that specific question, and then she said, since I was born. I've been born again since I was born. Like growing up, she's been a Christian. I said, sister, you are not born again. You must give your life to Christ. Are you there? You can't be born again since you are born in this world. You were born in sin. Amen. Yes. So, hallelujah. So salvation is a great miracle because your records are forgotten. Your records. All your records. The lies. You know, when you tell a lie, do you know that it's difficult for people to believe you? Because next time, we don't believe whether everything you have told everything. Because it's like, you have this special disease. Although you say you are healed, maybe you are not fully healed. So, I'm not trusted again. So, yes, it's like you told a serious lie. Say, hey. No, this guy. He can be lying. Watch out. The last time, you remember the last time what he did? He can do it again. That's how it is. So I want you to see that for your records to be forgiven, God is saying that they will be forgotten and the records will be removed. That is why it's a great miracle. The greatest miracle for your records to be removed, that it is never remembered. Hallelujah. Are you not happy about that? You know, be happy that even if human beings will remind you of your sins, God is saying that, look, as for me, your sins are gone. Hallelujah. Your sins are gone. Hallelujah. That is the confidence that we should have. That even if human beings will use it against you, God says that you are clean. I am God. I say you are okay. Sit down and serve me. Yes, that's God's greatest miracle. That's the greatest thing God can do for you. Yeah, that he wipes away all your sins and make you sit like angel, what? Add your name to angel. Angel what? Joel. Born an angel and he remains an angel. Hallelujah. Is it not powerful? How many of you are realizing that salvation is actually great? It's great. It is great. Very great. Yeah. Number three, right? There are seven things. I wish we could go through all of that. Salvation is the greatest miracle because it is always a miracle for somebody to love a person who has many problems. Do you know why? God, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 verse 8, for God commended his love towards us in that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is like love became an action word. He had to set it in motion. So, you know, you can direct your love to a particular place intentionally. You know, people just allow their feelings to just dissipate and move everywhere. Love everybody. Love people you must not love. When I say love, I mean talking about, you know, love, liking people that you shouldn't like and all that. It can happen. It happens. But God intentionally commended his love towards us. The Bible says he commended the love towards us. In that, whilst we were yet sinners, when we were yet deep in sin, God decided to love us. How many times people are not feeling right with God? They will be staying at home, hoping that they will be fine, they will be okay, when they feel comfortable. So sometimes people say, I'm solving some one or two problems, I'll come to church soon. You know, when I heard this story, I always talk about it. I heard Billy Graham share it. He said that there was a man who committed a certain sin and felt very dirty. And he went into his washroom, his bathroom, and he started to bath. Because he wanted to feel clean with soap and water. You know, he was also staying at the place that the shower was flowing. So he turned the shower on and started to bath. I have seen somebody who went to the bathroom to bath under the shower for about 3 hours. Because he threw a challenge. We were in the same room. He threw a challenge to all of us in the room that he can take in coffee, drink a lot of coffee, and then still sleep for us to see. So he took a cup. And then he takes the coffee like he's fetching Milo. Crap! I was the one. When I was going to the university, I went, you know, the big Milo tin. That was my coffee because I didn't like Milo. I rather had coffee. So that was what I remember, that big tin. So that room, everybody who needed coffee will come in there. Because it's big enough for the room. You know that Milo tin? What's a milligram? Something. So this guy will fetch it like that with a tablespoon, not a teaspoon. Crack. Remove and pour it. I don't know whether about 3 or 4. What a foolish challenge. Then he drank it. Then he went into the bathroom. Look, he said he's going to bath. The water will be on him. When he comes, he'll feel sleepy. So he went into the bathroom. He was under the shower for like 3 hours. And he came back to sleep. Look, for 3 days, this guy had not slept. He almost died. Look, when he eventually slept, he felt sick. Seriously, but why do you do that for like 3 days? Because I remember the first night he wanted to sleep. I studied that whole night, so I was awake as his eyes were on like this, trying to sleep. He would turn this way. The other day, I think I was standing in the balcony as well. I'll be watching you. I said, look at you, it's a foolish betting competition you have gone into, you see. So, but this guy who committed sin decided to bath, and he bathed for, do you know how many hours? He was bathing. He was under the shower for 1 hour. He was still feeling dirty. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 10 hours, 20 hours, 100 hours. He was under the shower, he was bathing, and he did that for 120 hours. Yes, 120 long hours to feel right. But you see, it is not the number of minutes or hours you bath that will make you feel right. Are you there? God commended his love. He sent intentionally. He intentionally sent his love to you. He did it on purpose. Although you have problems, how many of you have problems? God came to you at the peak of all your problems. God came to you. At the height of all your problems, God came to you. When the sins were many and you were being drowned in sin, God came to you. It does not matter. That's why you hear. It does not matter what you've done before. What have you done? There were criminals who were saved on the cross. Criminals, they were supposed to die, condemned to die. Murderers and thieves were on the cross with Jesus. They were saved. They didn't have to do anything. Salvation has nothing to do with works. The Bible says that by faith you are saved. Ephesians 2:8. Through faith. And it says that, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. God commends his love towards you and towards me. Although you are a sinner, it's not about what you have done. His love has nothing to do with the measure of your sin. You have killed 5 people, and then this one has not killed anybody. 5 people cannot be forgive 5 murders and too much. The blood cannot forgive somebody who has killed 5. It's only for those who have lied and those who... It's not like that. Hallelujah. The blood is able to forgive you of every sin. Amen. And that's what the Bible says right there. That God commended, he sent his love towards us in that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's a miracle. That why would you want to marry somebody with problems? Nobody would love to marry a person with problems. You know, a lot of guys are going to choose a girl. Oh, she's beautiful. She has this offer. When you ask guys why they are married, so, oh, I think that I like her. She's a nice person. She's a beautiful girl. You know, but guys choose a lot because of looks, by the way. Ladies who are naive think that it is your looks count a lot. I shouldn't say it. I can stop saying it if you want me to not say it. But I can give you some free advice. Don't need consultation fee for this. Yes. Looks count. Okay, you need to. Appearances, very important. Not to deceive. Don't also deceive with your appearance. That's the problem. But you need to be at least presentable. Do you understand it? You need to be presentable. And sometimes you are too presentable, super delicious. You go to the extreme where you become very seductive. That is into seduction. Do you understand? But I'm just saying that you must at least look presentable. Look okay. You know, don't just come in with your hair. You look like, you look like this guy, Jack Sparrow. What is the movie called? Pirates of the Caribbean. The guy, your hair comes that way. You are wearing the hat. The man will be afraid of you. Are you there? Yes. But you see, she's beautiful. She's nice. She talks well. And we have the same. Sometimes people say we have the same vision. No, she loves God. We all want to serve God. You know, all those nice, nice things. When I start hearing those things, I say, you are not serious. There should be something more serious why you want to marry than these things. But there are also good reasons. But you see, hardly will you see somebody who is a cripple. And somebody has gone. A guy, normal guy, rich guy who has everything has gone for somebody who is a cripple. Hello? It's rare. It happens, but it is rare. Like the girl is crippled. Then you say that, oh. Then we'll ask you, why have you gone for this lady? So, oh. She's a good girl. She's serviceable. She's this. For you to locate such a person and to choose such a person, that is fantastic. Like, this is somebody with problems. How many people will choose the blind? Somebody is blind. Even a beautiful girl who is blind will find it difficult to sometimes get a husband. True or not true? True. Because of the fact that the person doesn't have her sight. Like the guy will not choose on if you are given the options in a scale of preference. Like the first option will not be that girl who is blind. Hello? Why? Because the person is saddled with a problem. It's almost like, why will a young person go into marriage with by starting off with a problem? The person does not see. It's like, are you going to hold her hands all throughout your life? That's what the person will be thinking. Are you going to have to carry this person who cannot walk? Problems. So why would you love somebody with problems? That's what I'm saying. Why would you want to choose? This is human beings. Yes. That's why a lot of people will choose beautiful girls over universe. Why would you choose an ugly girl over a beautiful? They don't even look at it. So this is beautiful. I like it. It's difficult for people to even choose the ones that they see that are not appealing to their eyes. It's difficult. It's a reality. So what I'm saying is, for Jesus to love you and me at the peak and the height of all our sins, that's a miracle. Is it not a miracle? Is it not a miracle? You, the way you are, some of you, the way you are, you yourself, you will not like you. If you know you the way you are, and you are a man, and you know you that the way you know yourself, you will not choose you. I don't think you understand it. Listen to the message so that you will understand it well. Yes. So, look, there are people, when they are being married, there are people who have told me that they saw something when they were married, but they didn't understand. They now understand. It's like there was a kind of a subtle warning from other family members that, this lady, okay. They didn't get it until they went into the marriage. They realized that the family members were trying to say that, is this what you are coming for? Is this a problem? It's like it was a problem that was packaged for you. Only to take into your room to unravel and say, hey, is this my parcel? Is this what I got? Yes, I have people. There are no husbands who have told me that about the wives. They say, Charlie, they are feeling sad because the family packaged the lady in a way that they didn't really open it up well. But you went to choose. It is because they can only speak with dark speeches. When you have made your choice, the rest of the people around, they can only make dark speeches. It's in the Bible, Proverbs. You have to know how to interpret Proverbs, wise sayings, the sayings of the Proverbs 1. So you didn't get it. But what I'm saying is that hardly will people choose a person with problems. Even people don't like poor men. Ladies don't like, why are you like, you know, it's like you have suffered a lot, it's like you are going to marry poor. That's how ladies are thinking. A lot of girls are thinking today. So no. At least, when they measure, at least choose somebody who is rich. It's better. They choose. Is it not true? Is it not in your head? Although you've not said it with your mouth. I don't want to look at anybody's faith, but have you not said it in your mind? Anyway, let me continue my message before we go into people who say we don't like them. I tell men that you have to work hard. Even if you are chosen the man, the lady said, oh, I like you. When she finishes choosing you, work hard. Because that original default settings of ladies, it will come back. Where they will come to like money again. So please work hard so you will have money to provide. I'm just warning you guys who are not married. You must work hard so you can provide. Don't you think that because it started off like that, it's going to be like that forever. I'm telling you. What you are seeing with the people others now, when they are about to choose, after 5-10 years, it can come to you. So, Brema, Satisa, we are Juma, Nya Bibi, a banu gidigidia, what do you mean, Nya Mano? Yo, you'll be told that Pini Kra, Minaya. You'll be told one day, we buy where they move Pini Kra, Minaya, Pin Kra. So, these days, they package pins as part of them. You know that they add pins when they are marrying the ladies. No, it's just an advice. It's just an advice for you. Reverend Eric, what I'm saying, is it not true? You have to work hard. It's in a modern marriage. Do you know that this thing is in the modern marriage, but we don't hammer on it. It's there. You must work hard. That's why you must work hard, because you should work hard, because Charlie, when that certain comes back, it will be very difficult for you after 10 years. It will be very difficult for you. You'll be surprised. You won't survive. You will survive a lot of things. Amen. So I'm preaching about salvation. Where did we end? Why did I come here? It's a Sunday morning. I'm preaching about the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I say that lots of ladies will not even choose somebody who is poor. Even when they see that this person has a future, it's very difficult for them to believe. Why? Because they perceive that this is a person with problems. So for God to love, it's not easy for somebody to love somebody who has nothing, who is a problem, who is coming to even eat your money, who is coming to be a burden on you. It's not easy to choose such a person. Look at it in life. So for God to choose us, that is why judgment day will be dreadful. Nobody likes you here on earth, but Jesus likes you. He commended his love towards you. Nobody likes you, but Jesus likes you. Oh, if you look around there, you realize that Jesus is the true person who likes you. You be careful. Look, a lot of guys, why you are liked is because you have money. Why you are liked is because you are beautiful. If your beauty fades, or if your money finishes, look at the prodigal son. The Bible says that, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine. And the Bible says that he went and joined himself with citizens of that country. And no man gave unto him. No man gave. When he had money, look at that. When he had spent, so he went and sent him to fill the field to feed swine. Eh? And he would have filled his belly with the husks that the wine did eat. And he had no man gave unto him. But when he had money, he was partying with girls. Go up. When the prodigal son, the brother says that this person who has spent his money on riotous living with harlots and with prostitutes, harlots, they were coming. The people were coming. Everybody was like, oh, Brad Joe, dear. Ah, Brad Joe, dear, your show. Brad Joe. Everybody, when the money got finished, he said, this guy is a problem. No man gave unto him. It is only the Father who will accept him. It's only the Father. It's only God who will like you, although you have nothing. It's only God. Nobody gave unto him. It's only God, the Father, who will like you. It's only Jesus' blood that can still like you. Nobody gave unto him. Even the senior brother said, my father. Why? Look, in fact, when we think about it, humanly speaking, if as we think about the story, it's still not fair to the brother who has been in the house serving. But you see, that is why you are not the... Your blood cannot save. Your blood would not save this prodigal son. That's why your blood is not enough. It's not good. Because when we think about it, the prodigal son and the senior brother, why should they make a party for this? The boy who has gone to... He has had all the parties in the world. All the children. He comes home, the father makes another party. Yes. Nobody will give you. Check. You should be thoughtful. I've had this feeling several times. I've thought about this several times. That the only person who likes me is God. That's the truth. You have to accept it. That God, look, the one who likes me is God. The one who really likes me is God. Yes, who really, really likes me is God. It's Jesus Christ. There's nobody who can compare to that. Think about your life. You realize that he's the only one who likes you. He's the only body who will forgive you, who will have patience for you. Who will come to you, forgive you, and come again and again. He's the only one. He's the only one. He will commend his love towards you again and again and again. Go to Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 1. I'm closing with this. I don't have to continue because I have many points. Jeremiah 3 verse 1. God is the one. Jeremiah 3 verse 1. If any man, listen to this. Jeremiah 3 verse 1. Maybe you should give us NLT. NLT, New Living Translation Bible. Look at this quickly. If a man divorces a woman and she, the woman, goes and marries, you see, whenever God is talking like this, God likes stories. So picture it, a man who divorces a woman, who is divorced a woman, and then marries someone else. He will not take her back. The woman has gone to marry somebody. It's not talking about the man marrying somebody, the woman. You've left the woman to go. And then say that the woman goes to marry somebody else. Not even go to do whatever, marry somebody else. He will not take her back again, for he would surely corrupt the land. That is what it is. When you take that person back, it's like a form of corruption. But you have prostituted yourself. God is now speaking to his people. You have prostituted yourself with many lovers. So why are you trying to come back to me, says the Lord. Verse 2. Look at the shrines on every hilltop. Is there any place you have not defiled your adultery with other gods? You sit like prostitutes beside the road, waiting for a customer. You sit alone, like a nomad in the desert. You have polluted the land with your prostitution and your wickedness. Verse 3. That is why even the rains have failed, and you are a brazen prostitute and completely shameless. Let's continue. Oh, if you give me a lot, that will be nice. Yes. 4. Yet, verse 4. Yet you say, Father, you have been my guide since my youth. Surely, you won't be angry forever. Surely, you can't forget about it. So you talk, and you keep on doing the evil upon them. But you see, if you can, continue. Let's continue. If you give me a lot, it will be nice. So many things. But this passage, join the King James. Have you seen that? Whatever. But you see, in this passage, all right, go back to the King James. Maybe I'll find what I'm looking for. How I want it in King James, verse 3. This story there, okay, this is a lot of story to tell, okay, but I wanted you to see it. God is saying that although you have done all this, when you come back to me, I'll take you, okay, but I cannot go there. I don't want to continue. This is a story. God is talking about all of that, but he says that although you have done all of these things, he says that when you come back, you see, even when you sin and you make mistakes, he says that I will take you back. In Jeremiah 3, it's a whole story. Do you understand it? It's a whole story to read. So go and read it. That's how God is. That's how his love is. That's a whole story about God's love. God sent his love to people with problems. It is a very difficult thing for somebody with problems to be loved with problems. It's like everybody has issues that they have to take you on and also carry you with your problems. So when you are you have to consider it that God loves you despite your problems. God has remembered you and God's blood has come to save you despite the problems. Hallelujah. When you go home, read Jeremiah 3, and it says that God, it's a nice conversation God has with his people. Oh, despite all this, says that I'll take you. I'll like you. How many of you want God to like you? God will like you. Yes. So I pray that you see the power in the blood. That's why the blood of Jesus has done great miracles. Because if the blood of Jesus Christ can come to people with problems, if the blood can still like people with problems, you don't have money, but God likes you. You have sinned, but God likes you. You've done whatever, but God still likes you. God likes us. Father, we thank you that you have liked us. And salvation is free for all of us. Salvation is free for you and me. Although it says God commended his love towards sinners. He commended his life towards us that even though we were yet in sin, he died for us. Hallelujah. Now, every problem you have, you see, God has talked about it. He thought about it. And he has made a way already. He has given a blank check for your problems in the future. Your sins that is yet to even come. That's why the blood of Jesus is powerful. Hallelujah. I had 7 points, but I've given you 3. So you have to listen to the second service. Clap your hands, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe that you have been truly blessed. Send a mail to Bishop Samuel at bishopsamuelbeidou@gmail.com. Introduce this podcast to a friend. Keep listening and live passionately for Jesus.